Welcome to worship from Daleville Christian Church. May you know our Lord who wants to save you. And may you know our Lord's presence who came to us in and through Jesus our Lord in order to save us all. We have an affirmation of our faith that we share each time we gather together. And this affirmation from the letter we call 1 Peter, in the first chapter, verses 18 through 21. We were ransomed from futile ways by the precious blood of Christ. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest at the end of the times for our sake. Through him, we have confidence in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory so that our faith and hope are in God. The reading for today's message from God's Word is in Matthew's Gospel, the 5th chapter, the first 10 verses, commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, where we read, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Last time, we looked at John the Baptizer. Come to find out, all the gospel writers insist that you and I notice and take note of John the Baptizer. He's the first act of the gospel message. Matthew shows us John and Jesus saying the same thing, which was, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Or, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." It isn't future tense. Jesus with John announced the kingdom coming. The kingdom is closer than some future date. The kingdom is imminent. You can say that it's going to rain or snow today, or you can say the rain or the snow will be here any minute. John said the kingdom will be here any minute. It's getting ready to open up and break out on us. The kingdom of heaven is breaking into our worldly reality. The kingdom is breaking in over us from above, from God. The kingdom coming is in Jesus, the Messiah. Okay, so do we know what that means? You could notice that Matthew uses the term kingdom of heaven more times than anyone else in the Bible. Matthew records the word kingdom of heaven 31 times. So Matthew may be just the person to ask about the kingdom of heaven, and since the kingdom of heaven comes with Jesus, then it should be clear what the kingdom of heaven is not. The kingdom of heaven is not heaven. Heaven is where the faithful followers of Jesus go after the judgment day. But as Matthew envisions it and writes about it, the faithful will inherit the kingdom of God just as a son will inherit the father's land. Kingdom of God is in the future. The kingdom of heaven is now. So we want to understand this kingdom of heaven that Matthew wrote so often about. The kingdom of heaven is certainly coming from the realm of heaven or the realm of God, and Jesus is bringing the kingdom. So where is our place in this kingdom of heaven? Where is our place in the kingdom that is coming? Where do we fit in the kingdom that Jesus is bringing? Jesus taught this way: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And again in Matthew 5:10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if you're like me or you grew up in the Midwest, you've probably understood these Beatitudes as entrance requirements to the kingdom of heaven, saying to ourselves, oh, I'll need to be poor, or at least poor in spirit. That means to be humble. Okay, check. Check that one off. What else do I have to do to enter the kingdom of heaven? Oh, the one in verse 10 says, I need to be persecuted. Let's see, how can I get persecuted? Oh, it says to be persecuted for righteousness. Well, that's going to be tough. I'll have to think of something that's righteous but outrageous so people will yell at me and unfriend me on social media. Okay, most of us grew up thinking that Jesus was giving entrance requirements to the kingdom of heaven. If you would mention that to Matthew, Matthew would not know what you are talking about. You recall that Matthew just got up from his workstation and followed Jesus. Do you want to suggest that before that happened, Jesus gave Matthew some sort of disciple quiz to see if Matthew could get in? No. Had Matthew submitted a resume to Jesus that we know nothing about? No. So we see how the whole idea of the Beatitudes as entrance requirements to the kingdom falls apart. None of us can arrange to be persecuted for righteousness. Getting persecuted for righteousness cannot be on anyone's to-do list. This alone should call into question the Beatitudes as somehow entrance requirements for the kingdom of heaven. We want to remember to whom Jesus was speaking when he said those words. We are overhearing Jesus speak to people who have gathered to hear Jesus speak. As I read Matthew 5:1, now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Who are the people in the crowd? Matthew gave us a hint at the end of chapter 4. Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about Jesus spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed. And he healed them. And as you know, I like to emphasize, Jesus healed them all. Then Matthew wrote, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, that means the surrounding towns, and Jerusalem, the capital city, Judea, and the region across the Jordan, followed Jesus. It isn't hard to imagine that a number of the people in the crowd on the mount that day were those Jesus had healed. And I would just notice that there didn't seem to be any requirements for their healings. No entrance exam for the touch of Jesus. There was no paperwork to fill out. There was no scheduling for the appointments. There were no x-rays required or blood tests. No medical history forms needed to be submitted. People just got their sick selves in front of Jesus, and Jesus healed them. We are not told about any of those who were healed described as having great faith, are we? But don't complain to me about that. You'll have to take that question up with Matthew or Jesus. In this case, Jesus came healing first. Jesus shows that God cares about sick people. You say you already know that? Then how come sick people will ask me when they become sick, why is God punishing me? What did I do wrong that I am this sick? Do I not have enough faith to get through this illness? I've heard very faithful people ask that question. A lady said to me last March, "Oh, I think God is going to take care of us through this coronavirus pandemic." Let me just notice for you that Jesus seemed to come through the Bible healing people who are sick. I don't read Jesus working on preventing people from getting sick. So I'm not sure where that idea came from that lady expressed to me. Still today, people tie their condition to particular sins. It's an old idea. Gosh, we're told that Jesus' disciples asked the very same question. Who sinned that this man who was born blind? Who sinned? Was it him or was it his parents? The answer Jesus gave was no. Jesus said no. God is going to heal the man born blind. So if the disciples asked the same question, why did they ask that question? Because they'd been taught to believe that. Lots of folks have been taught by the Pharisees and Jewish leaders that sickness means you had failed God. And you know what else those folks were taught? The crowd had been taught that if they were poor, they did not have God's blessing. And that was obviously true because the rich people were proof that they had God's blessing. Is any of this sounding familiar? Isn't this the success gospel? Isn't this the prosperity gospel? That we all need to have more faith because we poor and sick apparently lack enough faith to be healthy and well off? Jesus came saying, "Blessed are you poor." Yes, I know that it says in spirit, I'm getting to that. But we know that Jesus included the financially poor because Luke 6:24, Jesus said, "Woe to you rich." Matthew reported that Jesus also said, "Truly I tell you, it's hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." It led the disciples to ask, "Well, then who's getting in?" Jesus did not say it's hard for someone rich in spirit to enter the kingdom of heaven. So notice in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is not handing out an entrance exam to the kingdom of heaven. Do I need to say that again? Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, is not handing out an entrance exam to the kingdom of heaven. My old professor noticed that we often read these blessings as requirements. But Professor Davies stated, there are no imperatives in this teaching except one. Would you care to guess where it is? Matthew 5:10-11. "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Here comes the imperative. "Rejoice and be glad." Do it. That's a command. Rejoice and be glad. Why? There will be a reward for you. Those of you who were in the Bible study in 2019 know what that means. Jesus is not handing out an entrance exam to the kingdom of heaven in the Sermon on the Mount. I tell you what Matthew states that Jesus is handing out in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is handing out blessings. Blessings. Jesus is pronouncing blessing. Jesus is sharing blessings. Jesus is giving blessings. Blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are you. Since most of Jesus' audience that day were poor, in the ancient world it would be almost impossible to be sick and be wealthy because the sick can't work. They can, however, beg. You and I can be sure they included themselves who were financially poor in the blessing. And since few of them were people of any position, they were already humble. The Pharisees did not praise these people for their faith. The Pharisees thought the sick ones and taught that the sick ones were outside God's blessing. So Jesus said to the leaders, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces." Friends, that's not otherworldly. That's earthly. You're shutting the door in people's faces right now to the kingdom of heaven. It was happening around Jesus when Jesus showed up after Jesus' baptism. The spiritual leaders were shutting the door of the kingdom. Roman soldiers knocked these people around and bullied them. Lepers had to move out of town. Some of these people in the crowds knew they were sinners. Jesus came and demonstrated that God cared about them, that they were not forgotten by God. Indeed, Jesus was saying, "You're getting into the kingdom of heaven. You're entering the kingdom of heaven. You poor in spirit. And if anyone has made it hard for you to do the right thing, if you've suffered to do the right things, there's a place for you in the kingdom of heaven right now. You may enter. The Heavenly Father wants you in the kingdom of heaven." Luke quotes Jesus saying, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." This was good news to thousands of people. The crowd that day on the mount had been told that they were disqualified for God's blessing. Some had the door of the kingdom shut in their faces, and they wanted to enter. So Jesus came saying, "You can and you will enter the kingdom of heaven. You are not disqualified. Your pre-existing condition does not disqualify you from the Jesus Healthcare Foundation. God wants you for the kingdom of heaven." God wants you for the kingdom of heaven. And remember what else Jesus said. Jesus said it. John said it too. "Repent, for the kingdom is near." John had said, "Bear fruit that belongs to repentance." You can enter the kingdom, said Jesus. Now the question to answer is this: do you want to enter the kingdom of heaven? It wouldn't be enough to say that you want to enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Let me simplify those words of Jesus. Not everyone who says will enter, but only the one who does. Not everyone who says will enter, only the one who does. Friends, can you believe that God wants you for the kingdom of heaven? Are you prepared to act on that desire? Are you prepared to act on that desire to enter the kingdom of heaven? Jesus is holding the door open for you. Amen.